Hi, I'm Alexa.
And I'm Rory. And together we are
the Romies.
We are married
to each other.
Right. We are a touring musical duo.
And our music has taken us to all kinds of places all around the world and keeps us always on the go.
So we hope you enjoy our stories and adventures while running around working to keep all your plates spinning.
And we hope to facilitate your busy lifestyle and feed your inner travel bug.
Mm-hmm.
So we are excited today to introduce you guys to Jonathan Grant with World Hunger Relief, Inc.
Yes.
And we are in Waco, Texas, and I'm just so excited to share this with you. Rory and I both are so excited to share this information with you and introduce you guys to Jonathan and all he has to say. Do you want to just give us a overall general thing of what you do? And
sure.
Then we'll kind of home into
and the why, because that's what we think is really important as well. Why we do what we do, right?
Yeah, so many folks call this place the farm or World Hunger Relief Farm. We're a 40-acre piece of land that has been committed to addressing the alleviation of hunger and malnutrition for the last 43 years. We've had a shift in that time after realizing that our own community has an endemic of hunger and all the different things that come along with poverty for a while. And so our focus, while still global, has turned inwardly to see how we might be a good neighbor in this community, to ask the question, why are so many folks hungry? What is the cause of that? What are the results of that? What is our role as a neighbor to address that and turn that system into something that's whole and working and functioning?
Nice. So you started out with World Hunger Relief.
With a global
and now, and realizing, okay,
that's right.
We right in our own backyard, we have so many needs, and we're going to start putting our focus and emphasis in that. How do you do that? What are some of the things you guys
are about doing?
Well, it's a crazy, hairy problem, hunger and malnutrition. You can't just point to one thing and say, if we do this, we solve it, right? Mm-hmm. So we're an educational farm more than a production farm. We have dabbled in the notion of creating enough produce that we deliver mass quantities to the community. Mm. We feel like it's more fitting in our role and our call to be an educational farm, to help bring empathy to our community, to help bring skills to our community, to help bring community building and just problem solving, solution offering ideas to all the players in this community. And so we have a partnership with Waco Family Medicine, who is a local federally funded hospital system, who has realized that a majority of their patients' health concerns are diet related.
Wow.
That if their patients didn't have diet related issues, that they would not be ill. Hmm. And that's a sobering thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Because I'm a big proponent of food as medicine.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know all those situations that they're facing, but to me, that resonates with
that's huge.
Where I sit.
It is. You know, when I was growing up, my mom would always tell me, you are what you eat, right?
And right.
So if you eat Cheetos, you're a Cheeto. If you eat greens, you're a green. But the reality is that we're facing also in agriculture is you're not just what you eat, but you are what you eat eats.
That's right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever you feed your plants is what you're eating.
That's
whatever
it.
You feed your animals is what you're eating.
Yep.
And so that means stewardship is really important, how we care for the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are an educational farm that addresses how to build soil, how to create an atmosphere for environment for plants to grow in such a way that the plant is actually at its most optimal place to actually nourish and feed you. Mm. If you care for the land also, instead of just throw lots of fungicides and herbicides and fertilizers, you actually help create a sustainable regenerative environment for plants to grow. And so we teach that. But Waco Family Medicine, we've partnered with them because access to healthy food, access to the skills of how to use those foods has been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we grow food here that we then deliver to their patients. We call it a produce prescription box.
Wow.
If a doctor sees a patient, that is dealing with a diet-related illness, he will literally write a prescription. We hand them a box that's filled with 7 different varieties of produce, filled with nutritional information on each of those different types. Mm. But then it's also filled with recipes that are culturally specific on how to cook it for your family in a way that your children will enjoy it.
Right. That's a big deal.
For 6 years, we've done that, and we've realized that we are in that really just helping the fish, that we are helping feed a family, but we're not changing the system that that fish is growing up with. And so this year, for the first time, we are handing out boxes, but we're also meeting with cohorts of patients, 10 at a time, that will also meet with representatives from our farm, representatives from Waco Family Medicine, representatives from a local church, just to eat together and to take cooking classes together and to take gardening classes together. And so we don't come to this with a stance of power or knowledge or superiority. We come at it from a stance of neighbor. Mm-hmm. And to learn with, and to grow with, and mm-hmm. to cook with. And so our hope is that in those gatherings, that cohort will meet for 12 weeks, representatives of the neighborhood, representatives of the farm, representatives of Waco Family Medicine, and build friendship, build community, so that hopefully in that time, trust is built, mm-hmm. Diets can change, and in turn, health changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'd mentioned something before we started recording about the pond. I thought that was a really great analogy, and then you'd mentioned the fish thing. Can you kind of explain the whole pond thing?
Yeah, so, you know, the analogy is a young man walks by a pond on his way to work each morning, and one morning he sees a dead fish, and he asks himself the question, what is wrong with the fish? On his way home, he sees another dead fish, and he asks himself, what's wrong with the fish? But the next morning, he walks by the pond, and there's 1,000 dead fish. And he doesn't ask himself the question, what's wrong with the fish? He asks himself the question, what's wrong with the pond? Mm. And so we have treated healthcare, we've treated poverty, we've treated education by asking ourselves the question, what's wrong with the fish? When in reality, the question needs to be, what's wrong with the pond? We have systems in place that help perpetuate the problem of poverty.
Yeah. We keeps the pond sick.
Yeah, and we give ourselves to mission organizations, we give ourselves to service, we give ourselves to community to try to help invest in the person, in the fish, when in reality we're not changing much long term. And so we as a farm want to be about changing the pond. We want to first ask the question, why is the pond sick? Mm-hmm. What does it need? How can it be nurtured in a way that can become an environment like our soil that is established in such a way that regeneration and sustainability are at the forefront?
Yeah, that's wisdom there. I think a question that we all should ask ourselves is, are we okay with the pond being sick? Because the reality is our actions show that we have been up to this point.
Yeah, and that's...
Or just lack of knowledge of how to do that.
Right, yeah. Well, once we find out, that's the thing.
That's exactly right. If you look at a child that goes to a local school district who lives with food insecurity, that child doesn't have good access to food often, which leads to hunger. Hunger leads to poor learning. Poor learning leads to frustration, which often leads to dropout or a lack of ability at graduation, which leads to lots of different things. It can lead to theft and crime, because just like in Les Mis, when you're hungry, you need food. And when you need food, you steal a loaf of bread. When you don't have an education that pays enough for your family, you do what you have to do to provide for your family. Mm. And so the thought of a child being hungry, just think of it in that sense, it's a simple solution. But it's a much bigger problem. You know, we have many parents who are working their tails off, but when you work at minimum wage, you still live below the poverty level. When you are a single parent and you're working and you have 3 children and one of them get ill, then you have to take time off. And most folks that employers that have an employee that takes too much time off, they get laid off. Yeah. And so there's lots of issues. There's childcare issues. There's food access issues. There's transportation issues. There's all kinds of different factors that are making the pond sick, and that if we want to turn that around, we have to bring in all the different voices in our community to address how we might, from our own perspective, be a better steward of that, which is our community.
Yeah. Man, I think what you're talking about, the sick pond, right? Bringing that, integrating it into a healthy pond. Yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah, and the reality is we think as a wealthy population that there are two ponds.
Right.
That our pond is fine. So we right. don't have to do much about the other pond. But the reality is, just take the thought of a tomato, right? In December, tomatoes don't grow in Texas. Well, if you go to HEB, there are tomatoes in December.
Right.
Well, how do you do that? You do it by growing it in South America or Central America at a place that takes lots and lots of effort and energy to harvest, to process, and then to ship, and then to get here on time. But we want our tomatoes cheap. Right? We yep. still need a cheap tomato.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a cost to that. Somebody is paying mm-hmm. the price.
Yeah.
And so our success, our ability to access cheap tomatoes means somebody else is probably getting taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the one picking it, whether it's the soil that's being filled with fertilizer just to get enough tomatoes out so it's worth it for the farmer, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, the grow local has become big because, you know, it's a hipster movement maybe, but there's a reason that grow local is important because mm-hmm. you don't have to ship it. You can yep. pick it the day that it's ripe and it's tastes seasonal. Better. It's seasonal. And so we live in a system that we want immediacy, we want low prices, and both of those things require big systems that we also want cheap.
Yeah.
And that means that something's being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. You know, I was a mm-hmm. custom home builder for a long time. And I tell folks, I can build it to you. I can build it well. I can build it quickly. And I can build it cheaply. But you can only choose two of those three.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't yeah. get all three.
Right.
That's
you can
anything.
Get it well and quickly.
Yep.
You can get it quickly and cheap. You know, but you can't get all three.
Right.
And we want our tomatoes well, quickly, and cheap.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way. But we've mm-hmm. created a system that provides luxury, I would say. And I enjoy that. But that luxury comes at the expense of somebody.
And it's amazing how quickly it happens. For thousands of years, since the beginning of creation, it's not been that way.
No.
Over the last 100 years, suddenly, that's how it should be. Right? Which is not true, but it's just so ironic that is the entire mindset of the more wealthy Western civilization, right?
Yeah, and there's been lots of repercussions. There's been lots of reason for that, right? It's hard to farm. Fewer and fewer people are wanting to farm because mm-hmm. it's hard.
Yeah,
it's the margins aren't great in farming because one, people want things cheaply, but just in reality, the grocery stores don't make a whole lot per item. And so the number of local farmers has gone down dramatically, which means that Big Ag and those other producers have to create a whole lot more out of there, which then they're trying to keep the prices as low as they can. So it's a really, really complicated system, but it's also a new problem. And the challenge is, there's many, many challenges. Another challenge is that our population is growing.
Mm-hmm.
So in time, we're going to have to feed more and more and more people when more and more land is becoming denuded, is becoming less fertile.
Yep.
And then we have global weirding. You know, there's something is happening in our culture that is creating some different cycles that create a bigger challenge for agriculture.
Yeah, I mean, cycles that we've not encountered.
Yeah, agriculture is changing.
Yeah.
And vineyards all across the United States are producing less, and all kinds of different factors. You know, you have to go further and further south to grow now because winter's harsher and summers are harsher and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a complicated problem. It's a really complicated problem. But we see a set at World Hunger Farm. We see what our problem looks like in our little community, McLennan County, and are committed to finding ways to address the pond.
Yeah. And you mentioned that we have a really high concentration of...
Yeah, we have lots. We have a highly educated population here. We have Baylor University, McLennan Community College, Texas State Technical College. We have nursing schools. We also have lots and lots and lots of churches in our community, so folks that are committed to some kind of faith. But this community has a highly disproportional amount of food insecurity, where 23.7% of children in our community don't know where all their meals are going to come from in any given day.
Wow.
The state average is 10%. And so I see that as potential. We have folks that have the intellect, they have the schooling, they have experience. Mm-hmm. We have folks that are passionate.
I was about to say the passion, yep.
We have folks that are passionate, that want to do something, that want to be of help. I believe have been helping for a long time, but not helping towards the right thing. But the reality is, one of my biggest charges as executive director is just to build empathy. Mm. And just to tell the story in such a way that a light bulb turns on and says, 23% of our kids, one in four of our kids, aren't eating enough, aren't going to school with a belly that allows them to learn. That's a challenge. You know, some of my sons, dear friends, live in that way. And so these are real people that we love and our neighbors. Yep. And so I'm determined to help be a voice for change.
Yeah. I it feels like in the past we've built a barrier in the pond to try and separate the healthy pond from the sick pond, so the healthy pond doesn't get sick. Whereas in reality, it's kind of the other way around. You've got to integrate the two and make one healthy pond, right?
Yeah, and that's maybe part of the problem is, you know, streams originally didn't have any dams, and they flowed freely from the mountaintops to the ocean and didn't experience a lot of problems there. But when we create our own little communities and segregate ourselves in our own bubbles and clusters and churches, we try to create an environment that is pleasing and inviting and comfortable. And when we do that, we create other places that are not quite as comfortable. Mm. You know, most of the poor people around the world are living in places where the soil isn't very good.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because the people with wealth have taken the places where the soil is very good, where the views are great. You know, the land of milk and honey. And so many of the impoverished folks live on mountainsides where there's lots of rock and lots of runoff and not good soil and good grasses to hold all that in.
Yeah. Man.
I love that within all of these problems that we've talked about, there's still hope, and there's ways that we can all be a part of that, a part of the solution. And one of those things is coming here on a volunteer vacation and learn and see firsthand what's going on here at World Hunger Relief and take that back with you. You know, when you leave, you can take that back home and start integrating some things that you've learned into your own community, into your own garden, into your
government. I mean, the way that the policies you make and stuff, right? I mean, all that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the crazy thing that's happened here in Waco the last 10 years is the Magnolia phenomenon, the success of Baylor Athletics.
Yeah.
and so Waco has become a destination place, which I moved here in 1989, would have never dreamed of saying. You know, we call it the Waco suck. It sucks when you get here. But it sucks you in. And it's an incredible place to live and be. And so tourism has gone off the charts. And we are so thankful for having guests come to this community. We're trying to position ourselves by building several Airbnbs so folks can participate in agro-tourism, come and stay on the farm. We do have quite a few around our farm that folks stay in, and they come and walk our fields.
That is so cool.
Take classes or just bring their kids and see the animals and see life that is a little slower, life that's lived within a rhythm. And, you know, it's remarkable. You spend any time in the soil, good soil, or you spend long enough time where you see poor soil, poor dirt become soil, it does something to you inwardly and help creates a new rhythm that I believe is more sustainable, that's regenerative, that personally brings great depth and wealth to your core, to your self.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a lot of wisdom gained in that, man.
It is, you know, and so that's the beautiful thing, is the giving of yourself here. We rely on thousands of volunteers a year We have dozens of Baylor groups and church groups that come out here. We have interns that live on the farm. They give 8 months of their life to be here and learn.
And from across the world.
Yeah. We've had folks from every continent other than Antarctica come and live on the farm. We've had folks go out from the farm to every continent but Antarctica to work after they've lived here on the farm. Just to be that source of hope, that seed that's planted in a community that can thrive and grow and hopefully bring about regeneration in other places.
Yeah.
So give us a little more specifics. If I'm going to come here for my volunteer vacation, what are maybe some of the activities I would be involved in?
Yeah, so we have
touched on it, but...
We have a portal online where folks can volunteer to come and work for 3 hours. And that looks like a lot of different things. So we have several acres of gardens that we're growing produce. We're growing it to learn and to teach folks, but there's surplus there. And so we have folks that are working the beds to prepare beds, to weed beds, to harvest produce, to process produce. We have lots of livestock. We have pigs and chickens and goats and cows and bunnies, and they take lots of care. We have a young girl that's under 10 who lives here, and her dad is our education director, and they were doing evening chores one night, and she said, "Dad, why don't you get folks from the city to come and do chores with us? You could call it chore tours." And so we started now in the evenings on weekends. Families come out and they do chores. They feed the animals, they clean up paddocks, they gather eggs, and they just see what it's like life on the farm.
That's awesome.
And so you can work with livestock. You can work in our office to help do much more boring things. We have dinners here on the farm that we host. May the 12th, we'll have a night on the farm dinner that is a purely farm-to-table dinner hosted by a local chef that will prepare a four-course meal.
Wow.
So there's lots of different ways to engage. We have kids camps in the summer that you can bring your child at 8:30, and we keep them till 1 and feed them, but we give them a deep dive into life on the farm, and each year has a different theme and perspective. And so, it can look like a variety of different things. But, the beautiful thing is you can come with your family and work for a few hours. Then you can go to town and get some great food and see all the touristy things that are there, and then maybe come back the next day. The options are limitless. It just requires coordination and planning and those kinds of. We have so many folks that want to come that we have to order it in such a way, and we do that with our portal.
What is the portal again?
worldhungerrelief.org, and there are several different pages there, and one of them is volunteer. For us, giving, it looks like a lot of things, time, treasure, and talents. You know, come volunteer here, come and donate things, or come and give finances to help, and we rely greatly on people's time. And talent to come and just give what they can so that we can do the work that we do. We couldn't fund what we do if we had to pay everybody that came out here. And so, it's a 10-to-1 ratio probably of volunteer versus employee. And
that's awesome. Great thing.
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay, so folks, just go to the portal and figure out the days and times, the amount of time you can put in. But normally a shift might be a 3-hour shift.
Yeah, okay, max of 3 hours.
Okay, and, great. That's
all
doable.
Volunteer. If you want to do animal chores, the chore tours, that cost a little bit per family because it's a much higher demand. We do give tours of the farm. We try to, offset the cost of our employees doing that by charging $5 a person for a formal tour. But it's limitless in what you can do. We have church groups that come out and rent the place. We have weddings here. We have all kinds of different functions here.
Nice.
Go to the website. worldhungerrelief.org, learn about us and see what excites you.
Click on the volunteer thing.
Yeah, click on the donate thing too.
Donate, yeah, absolutely. Amen, yes.
Yeah.
Click it several times.
That's right. Come and have dinner with us. It's a taste and see, right?
That's it.
It will be one of the best meals you have. Get to hear our story. We'll have two this spring and summer. And then one in the fall, and just a great way to get acquainted with the farm. And we'll be having it's obviously all seasonal oriented, and so we'll have early spring, early summer harvest, and the summer course will be a totally different menu based on what we have available, and the fall is a totally different menu. So part of our goal in that's just to educate folks, right?
Yeah.
That you can live within the seasons and the rhythms of creation.
I'm so all about that.
Yeah.
Which has been the way it was for thousands of years, yeah. Right? And it's how mankind is.
There's something to it. If we can get ourselves living within the rhythms of seasons and cycles and just learn from those things, then generally you turn dirt into soil.
Yeah.
You turn that which is broken into something that's whole.
And what a great parable for life.
That's it.
Living within the seasons of your life, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, this place was, after years of neglect, because of challenging finances and things, is coming back to life. And spring obviously does that every year, but paying attention to that which is broken or hurting or wounded does that as well.
Yeah.
So it's just a beauty, you know, the sound of birds and the breeze and the animals and the children laughing and running. And it's just a great, great place to come and be.
Yeah.
Yay. Come visit.
Yeah, do.
In keeping with today's theme of farming, we're going to incorporate our travel tips and our bring travel home and with farm. We're just going to keep the theme.
The most obvious.
It's like a party.
Yes.
So our travel tip for today is to...
That was a drum roll.
That was awesome.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're way more coordinated than me.
Yep.
Our travel tip is to refer you to our previous episode.
Oh my.
Not any previous. I mean, you can go to all of them.
Right.
And listen for our first time.
To a particular previous episode.
Episode where we talked about pick your own. And we were not referring to your nose.
Or your friends.
I mean, you can pick your own friends. But that's not what
noses.
The episode.
Not your friends'
right,
noses.
Do not pick your friend's nose.
Right.
So, Pick Your Own is a website that features farms all around the U.S. and I think even the globe.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Where you can go pick your own harvest. And it's a great time since it's spring. Things are starting to bloom, etc. This is a really good time to check that out. Find what is near you and plan a little, you know, day trip getaway for your upcoming weekend.
Grab some fresh seasonal stuff.
Yeah. Grab your family
produce.
And take them or your friends. And or, you know, your community group that you're in, whatever, get some people together and go have fun and pick your own. All right? So that's our travel tip. And just it's
a learning experience for your kids and it's fun for you and
yes.
you get good
and you get
food.
Outdoors and you get your vitamin D. It's just, you know.
And it ties in so well with this episode.
Our theme. Right.
Yes.
So
now, how do you
post that episode to our show notes?
All right.
Pick your own.
How do you take it home today?
All right. So, our final segment of the podcast, the way we bring travel home, the way that we brought today's episode home, is the farmer's market.
You brought food home.
From the farmer's market. That's how I learned about World Hunger Relief, was at the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not gone this whole time that we've been in Waco. Not that we're ever in town. But I had gone and learned, and they have, like, organic produce. And so I'm like, yes, I'm all about that, please. And so I brought home all as much as I could. And so today I have been juicing and making soups with my produce from the farm
and also
so I literally like brought the farm home.
That's
so
just
fun.
Part A, right?
Oh yeah.
Part
probably
B to
B,
this
C,
is
D.
We actually went to the farm, so maybe you've got
yeah,
a local farm market.
Interview with Jonathan, we toured the farm.
Well, I mean, we went out to the farm today, so the
yes.
first for you it was kind of the opposite. You went to the farmer's market first.
Mm-hmm.
And from there your take at home was I'm gonna like go see what they're all about there.
Love it.
Right? So you go find out what your local farms are all about. You might find out that they're about doing good in your community and you'd like to join up and help out.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to get involved.
Then you're really taking it home.
Yeah.
And see, I did that.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a nice tie-in.
Yeah.
And another little tip reminder, when you bring your produce home, eat it. Don't let it just rot in your fridge or go bad or anything like that. Like,
eat it. Okay.
Utilize it. Use all the parts of it. When I, so for example, today, when I was juicing, I kept all the pulp, and I'm going to put, I put the pulp in my Instant Pot, and that pulp is going to become part of my soup that I'm going to make for dinner. And that way I still get all the fiber from the veggies. They're just going to be later in my soup. And anything that, like the ends of carrots or the ends of, you know, produce that I'm not eating, all that's going to go in our compost, because I'm sure you planted a wonderful garden.
That we don't have.
Right. I'm trying to get Rory to plant me some things, even though we're never home to grow them.
And I'm trying to get her.
But we're trying to bring home, you know, bring the farm.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get her to stop throwing things out the door, like the vegetables that she's done with, thinking there's a compost pile, because there's not. And that attracts raccoons and possums and all kinds of vermin that we do not want in the yard.
So you're saying that not anything helps anything stuff grow? You have to, like, plan your compost better? Is that what you're trying to teach
me? We don't have
a
compost pile. We just have garbage that you're throwing into the yard. Okay. So, yeah, there's a big difference. Anyway, just saying.
Okay, so I have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to learning it.
From me.
From you, yes. Yeah. Yes, not the world, not travel, but you.
Rest of your life.
What else do I need?
We hope we've inspired you this episode.
So join us next time.
Please subscribe to, rate, and share our podcast with your friends.
Or, you know, whomever.
And please like and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
We're also on Twitter. And on all social platforms, we are at The Romies. That's
TheRoamies.
And our main hub is our website.
At www.theromies.com.
That's right. That's
TheRoamies.com. We'll be there until next time.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.